Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Field of Vision podcast featuring the AT Junkie Show. And today is a very, very special day. We're trying out some new stuff as we record the podcast. Check us out at blindrehab.com. Our website is full of free information. We have updated that website since I have last talked to you guys. And there's lots of free resources on blindrehab.com, including a calendar of events page where we have national conferences and conventions that are listed on there. So if you'd like to attend something like that in your neck of the woods, or even if you want to travel to one of these, they are available on our calendar of events page. There's also a university training program page, and that lists every university that is accredited that provides students with the ability to earn a degree or a certificate in the field of blindness and low vision. It includes orientation and mobility, rehab teaching / rehab therapy, low vision, teacher of the visually impaired, if you'd like to work with children, which I think is a great place to be. What am I going to do, a Whitney Houston thing? You know, is it Whitney Houston? I believe our children are the future. Anyway, I do believe in our kids, and I believe that we need good quality rehabilitation specialists, and I always scream for quality. So does our community. So check out the university training page on blindrehab.com. Now, I'll be talking about a lot of stuff throughout this podcast, and one of the things that we do on our main page is we have a listing with links and information on all the stuff that we talk about each week. And so, like I said, blindrehab.com is where it's at. You can go right on the main page, and the entire history of basically what we're going to be talking about this week will be posted there with links to help you out. And those links are direct links, by the way. We don't just put links to the main part of a person's website. We put links directly for what you're looking for what we're talking about. So no having to navigate it and mess with it and all that type of stuff. It's important that people get access to information quickly. So we actually do all that work for you. If you'd like to help out the podcast, please purchase one of our t-shirts. Go to blindrehab.com. We've got some Braille t-shirts available. They're very cool. People like them. Many people have been wearing them at conferences and things like that. So that makes me really, really happy. So get your hands on some of our Braille t-shirts. They come in all different sizes and colors. And you can pick one to match your style and help support the podcast. And, of course, help support Braille literacy. So there we are. So as I was saying, today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about guide dog access issues with Uber. You have Uber, who is a company that provides rides. Basically, it's like a new age version of a taxi. You know, you use the app, use the technology, you know, that's been built to order a ride, and all of a sudden, you know, a few minutes later, you get a driver that shows up to pick you up and take you where you have to go. The payment process is very easy. It's all done through the app, so no having to exchange cash with the driver. It bills your credit card or it bills PayPal. There's a beautiful thing to this app. First of all, it's accessible. For those of you who haven't tried it yet, unfortunately, you know, Uber is getting bigger and bigger, and they're starting to expand and get into different parts of the country, but there's still lots of places where people live where Uber could be very, very beneficial, and it's just not available yet. But, you know, using the app, which is accessible, you are able to put in your address, put in where you're going. It will give you a fair estimate, and it will match you with a driver. Once it matches you with a driver, you are given the driver's name, make and model of their car, their license plate number, and most important, their rating. They give you, there's a 5-star rating system, and you can tell how well your driver has done in the past based on their rating. And Uber tends not to keep people that have a rating below like a 4-star. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to see a whole lot of 3, 3.5-star ratings with Uber because they're aggressive about that sort of thing. If a driver's not doing well, if they're not getting at least over 4 stars, they will cut the driver off just because of quality. Now, in our community, there have been many, many, many complaints with regards to access with guide dogs, okay? And I'm gonna say this before we get into the whole guide dog thing. I am a former guide dog user. Those of you that know me personally, you know that in 2005, I got a guide dog from the Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation. His name was Zeno, and he was an amazing worker, an amazing German Shepherd, really one of the coolest dogs. And I know he's my dog, so I have to say that, but one of the coolest dogs I've ever encountered. I didn't grow up with dogs as a kid, but as an adult, my first pet, you know, if you want to call him a pet, you know, he was partially a pet, but he was also a worker, was Zeno. And he was a big old Shepherd. And one of the things that I experienced while using a guide dog was something that I had never experienced before. And that was being denied access to things that I had always had access to. You know, when I got Zeno, I was 30 years old. So most of my life, I did not have a guide dog. I used a cane, or when I was younger, I probably should have used a cane and I didn't. You know what I mean? I'm not even going to say probably. I really should have been using a cane as a teenager and as a young adult. And I did not use a cane when I should have. But as an adult, I was, you know, mostly a cane user. And I experienced lots of access issues with my dog. You know, prior to getting a dog, it was never a problem. I would walk into a restaurant, cane or not. There wasn't an issue. You know, people would treat me okay. They would serve. They would, you know, if I got into a taxi cab, they would take me where I had to go. No problem. You know, sometimes they, of course, would ask me about my eyesight because, you know, they could tell. But there was never an issue. Bring in Zeno, my dog, in 2005. Very well-trained Shepherd. Good behavior, no issues. And everything really changed. And it was all access-related issues where, you know, people would just go, no, we're not taking your dog in a cab. And it was mainly cabs that were a problem, mainly public transportation or cabs where people would just lose their minds about the dog. And with those experiences, when my dog died in 2010, I only had him for a short while. I had him for about 5 years. When he died in early 2010, I did not go get another dog. And part of the reason was I was so attached to my dog, but the major reason was I was tired of the access issues. I was tired of being denied the ability to go in and sit down at a restaurant. I was tired of having to hail 3, 4, 5 cabs. And this was, of course, before the time of Uber. So it was just really a tough thing to have to go through. And so I made a decision for myself that was not based on whether or not guide dogs work. It was not based on how efficient they were or how well-groomed they were or well-behaved they were. It was mainly based on the fact that I didn't want to deal with guide dog issues and access anymore. So I went back to being a cane user. It has worked for me, but I'm a little annoyed because I really did enjoy using a guide dog. And it really was a life-changing experience. You know, when I got my dog, I was able to move through crowds so quickly, so efficiently. I was moving around town in a way that a cane would not let me move. So, you know, the fact that I've made this decision, and it is my decision to make, I understand that, and I'm not, you know, but I have to blame access issues as part of the reason, or a huge part of the reason, why I chose not to get another guide dog. And it's probably why I'm not going to get one for a long time to come. So anyway, getting into Uber and the issues that they're having, when you look on Facebook, you do see some positive interactions. And the reason people are reporting those positive ones is because there are so many negative interactions on guide dog access with Uber. I have a friend named Candace. You guys, if you listen to the podcast, you've heard her. We've had her on as a guest a couple of times. And she's a rehab counselor in the DC area. And what Candace had experienced was many, many times where she'll call for an Uber ride using the app, using her technology. The Uber driver pulls up and sees that Candace uses a guide dog, and they will refuse access. Sometimes they will pull away and cancel the trip, you know, because they're able to do that on their end. The driver can cancel a trip. They will cancel the trip, charge her a cancellation fee, and act like they couldn't find her. Or other times, they will basically give her a no on the guide dog. No, I cannot take dog. I'm allergic. It's my religion. It's my this. It's my that. Every excuse in the world not to take her dog. As we all know, you know, and you can read it in Uber's policy, and you can read it in the law, your religious beliefs do not prohibit you or do not, it's not an excuse. Like, you can't use your religious beliefs to not do the job that you're being paid to do. So the allergies, yeah, there are some people that are allergic to dogs, and it's, you know, in those cases, it's just, you know, unfortunate. But your job is to work with the public as an Uber driver and take the public, you know, where they want to go. And part of your agreement with Uber is that on some occasions you will encounter people with guide dogs. And that's basically right from the Uber policy with respect to service dogs or service animals. So Candace had several issues with that. She's also had issues where drivers were griping about it but took her anyway, you know, just making her feel bad because, you know, they're just grumpy about it and, you know, causing a problem, you know, making comments about her dog, you know, oh, I hope he doesn't bite me, or I hope he doesn't mess up my car, I hope he doesn't whatever, you know. And it's just unfortunate because these dogs are trained, and more often than not, you know, guide dog users are very responsible. Not always. I've seen some terrible guide dog users. I really have. And I think all of us listening to this have probably known a few people that were just, you know, they shouldn't be using guide dogs. But Candace is not one of those people. Her guide dog is treated extremely well. Her guide dog is well-groomed, well-mannered. She keeps up on her training. She is definitely one of the more assertive and aggressive about her skills as a guide dog user that I've ever seen. You know what I mean? So she's real good with it. So there was one incident with Candace, again, same person, having all these guide dog issues. At one point, I think she was being denied service like 3-4 times a week. And that's not an exaggeration. She is by far, you know, the most that I've heard as far as denials of guide dog access. I hear people having issues with it all the time. She was definitely the most vocal about it. There was a guy who refused to pick her up, and she told him that she would be reporting him to Uber. Like, she, you know, there's a place on the app where you can report guide dog access issues. And he was basically like, I don't care. I'm not going to get fired. It doesn't matter. Do what you want to do. And he drove away. So Candace went ahead and reported it, and they apparently took action and basically cut him off of the platform. They cut the driver off and suspended his account. Well, he showed up at her work the next day, and it's very scary. You know, the guy just shows up. She works in a secured building, so he's asking security for her. He wants to see her right now. He's angry, this, that, and the other thing. He apologizes to her, and she's like, okay, yeah, sure. You weren't apologetic yesterday, but fine. You know, that's fine. And he's like, so now you're going to call Uber and tell them to unblock my account. You know what I mean? So he was very demanding, very pushy, very assertive of it. They had to file a police report. This is a very rare occurrence, obviously, but you see that even fighting, you know, for what's right sometimes can get you into a very scary situation. So, you know, another story that I have is a lady named Judy Matthews who works in Florida. And if you go to Florida Lighthouse, it's lighthousecfl.org. So it's the Lighthouse of Central Florida. They do have a blog on there related to her issue with being denied access with Uber. And the driver, they actually have recordings of the interaction. And the driver was very belligerent, mentioned issues like race, which obviously has no place in anything. One thing has nothing to do with the other. She was a guide dog user. It didn't really matter what race she is. And I'll put a link up on this week's links on the main, you know, on the blindrehab.com, so you guys can actually listen to it and read the blog posting, because it's really interesting. And it talks about the fact that, you know, they filed a police report. They were waiting for the police to come for a very long time. And it was just, you know, it was problematic. So you hear a lot of these horror stories with Uber, because Uber is relatively new at what they do. They've been around for a few years. Cabs have been around forever. It seems as if Uber and companies like Lyft are getting a beat down because they're basically the new guys in town. I mean, when I had my guide dog issues with access, it was cabs. Uber wasn't around at that point. Lyft was not around at that point. It was taxis. And these issues have been across the board with people. Like they've happened for years. And because more and more, you know, people who are blind are using social media, it seems like the issues are happening more and more often. I don't think they are. I think with social media, our community has the ability to complain about it and voice their disgust with how things are going. So, you know, more power to everybody using guide dogs. I'm so sorry you guys are having those issues, but we have to continue to fight those battles, you know. And the thing with Uber and companies like Uber and Lyft is that they are responsible for implementing a policy, and they have a policy with respect to service animals. They had to be pressured into putting together a policy like that and actually following their policy. But I think they're starting to do it more and more. There have been a couple of lawsuits filed. There have been many complaints. There's been chatter on social media. And I think ultimately it has gotten them to wake up and take notice that, you know, people are just not going to take that kind of thing, and that they need to change their policies and start actually, you know, following the policy that they put together. So right now, the Uber app, and I believe the Lyft app does also, they have a section under help where you can report guide dog issues specifically. So it's not like where you have to find their email and send them an email. When you get your trip on the app, you can actually get into that trip and figure out all the information. And there's a help area. And under help, there's report guide dog issues as a subtopic. And then it opens up a screen where you can type in what your issue was. And you should be as detailed as possible. And they are responding to these issues. I posted on Facebook a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, that I had an issue with a friend of mine. You know, I got her an Uber for her birthday. You know, I wanted to be nice, whatever, and do something cool for somebody who's been cool to me. And so I ordered an Uber for her to take her from home to work. And we had an issue, and I reported it using the app. And what ended up happening is not only did they respond to me, they told me that they took the driver off the platform. They refunded some of the money because it cost me more to reorder the Uber. They refunded the cancellation fee that the guy did, and they also gave me $25 toward a future Uber ride. So I think they did the right thing. And I think at this point, it doesn't matter that they were sued. It shouldn't matter so much that they were pressured. It does, but it shouldn't. Shouldn't have that much. It shouldn't have that much, heat because of it. I think it's, you know, more important that we are at a place right now where they're starting to listen and they're starting to follow policy. So, it's a good thing. Yes, it stinks that they had to be pressured. Yes, it stinks that we had to, you know, as a community, go through stuff like that. But if you look at it from, if you're optimistic about it, you see that the future is very, very good when it comes to stuff like this. And you see that, you know, they're going to continue, hopefully, to do better. They're going to continue to interact with our community and realize that we are a source for them with respect to, you know, helping them make money. You know, they're doing something for us. They're making money off of us. Everybody wins if it's done right. So there you go. Anyway, those are my comments about it. I think our community needs to be a little bit more understanding. I think our community needs to be a little bit patient, even though it's annoying, even though it is very embarrassing when these things happen. I get it. But, you know, you don't win battles overnight. Sometimes it takes a while. And I really do believe that we're heading in the right direction. And there's a lot of, you know, blindness groups that have a lot to do with that. And they should be thanked. You know, as long as stuff is being done right, I think we should thank those consumer groups and we should encourage them to do a whole lot more, just like what they're doing. You know, maybe some of them could be a little less aggressive about it, but still kind of, you know, put it in there. I mean, there's ways to do that. So there you go. I said earlier on Twitter and Facebook that I'd be talking a little bit about technology, and we did some of that yesterday when I tried out the Facebook Live feed. And there's a bunch of things that I am so happy to be a part of. We talked about Ira a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago on the podcast. Candace Jordan was on here, and she was talking about Ira. And I have to say, hold on a second, we're having a problem with the mic here. There we go. I have to say that Ira is so impressive. I'm so glad that I was right about Ira. And if you want more information on Ira, it's right on the main page of blindrehab.com. You can link right to Ira's website and learn more. But they're a company that has, you know, developed a technology Okay, so we're going to continue talking about Ira, that is doing an amazing job for our community. Ira has continued to push and create technology using glasses that pair you with a agent, and that agent helps guide you. You know, if you're traveling, they help get you safely through crowds and past obstacles and get you to where you have to go. And it's more than that. They actually use Google Maps. They use Facebook. They use all these different resources that are available to them. And your mobile phone connects you to them, and they see what you would normally be seeing through your glasses. So it's a fantastic technology. Me sitting here and talking to you about it does not do it justice. You absolutely have to see it for yourself. Go to Ira's website, visit blindrehab.com, and click the link for Ira. It's A-I-R-A. For those of you who have not seen or heard it, check out our podcast with Candace Jordan on the Ira smart glasses technology. Okay, that is a big deal. I tried it out a year ago, and I was in a hotel, and she guided me out of the hotel, which was like a conference center. It was a big old place. I'd never been there before. Guided me kind of around some of the streets outside the conference center and then back in through a different entrance and got me into the exhibit hall where I was. And not only that, but got me back right to my exhibit space. So it was an amazing life changing. And I use that every now and then, that word life changing, because it really is life changing. That type of technology is where it's at. It's where our community needs to focus a lot of attention, because the company is doing right by us. They're talking to the right people. They're using a lot of the resources that our community has given them. They're not being, like people like, we know it all, we got it, we know what we're doing. They are out there and they are actively seeking our help, and they're working really, really well. So if you haven't seen Aira, if it's only something that you've heard of, you have to check it out. This is not a commercial. They haven't given me a dollar to do this. They should, but they haven't. They haven't paid me to do anything like that. I'm here to just simply talk about the technology that they've got and tell you how it works. And I think if you take the time to check it out, you will be very pleasantly surprised with Aira. So there you go. We'll be talking more tech next week. I plan to do this regularly. So I hope you guys are enjoying what I'm doing here. I hope you like it. Please share it. Already, we've got people sharing it on Facebook Live. And if you're listening to this in podcast form, go to blindrehab.com and follow us on social media. All of our social media stuff is right there on the main page. We've made it very accessible, very screen reader friendly. And hopefully you guys will enjoy listening to these podcasts. A lot of them are opinions. A lot of them are interviews. We'll be doing a demo this week on the AT Junkie side of the podcast. And if you subscribe, you get them all. You get all the podcasts on one feed. Just go to blindrehab.com and click the podcast link. Okay. Thank you guys so much. I will talk to you again next week. All right. Next week, we'll do this again. And I look forward to it. All right. You guys take care. Thanks.